The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
But I also know that, like, when I'm sitting here and I'm looking out and I'm seeing that, you know, there's a lot of folks here today, and I think some of you probably came today with this kind of mindset. It's Mother's Day. I'll go. My mom will be happy. She'll get off my back for a little while, and I don't have to listen because he's going to preach to mothers. So, like, whatever, it can go in one ear out the next. Doesn't matter what he says. It's not to me because I'm not a mom. Or you could say, well, like, I'm just going because, like, I have to or whatever. And you came to church today probably expecting that, like, this was going to be a Proverbs 31 message. Is that right? Proverbs 30? Okay, just making sure, you know, where he talks about the wife and the mom and the, you know, how good they are and stuff. And you've heard that before, so it doesn't really matter. And today we are in Proverbs, but I'm afraid that the message today probably isn't a real typical Mother's Day message. In fact, I asked my wife, hey, can I preach on this Sunday? And she said yes. She has no recollection of that, though, so, like, I don't know what happened. But I did check with Miss Bonnie, too, and I said, Miss Bonnie, I said, I feel kind of weird preaching about this on Mother's Day Sunday. And she said, oh, I think it's great. Go for it. And I said, okay, if Miss Bonnie says it's good, we're going to go with it. So this morning, I want to talk to you, I'm going to talk to moms because it's Mother's Day. But I really think that the words that Solomon has go way past moms. They go to each and every single one of us, and every person who is a follower of Christ. If you're a Christian today, I think that this message goes to you as well as to moms and as well as to mother figures, because I understand that not all moms are just moms. Some of you are mother figures, your aunts, your grandmas, your close friends who are just as like moms. And so I understand today that this message goes to everyone across the board. It's not just moms. And the message is simply this: to embrace the mess. And it kind of seems like a strange spot to start. But if you'll read with me, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 1 says this: the wise woman builds her house. That's it. The wise woman builds her house. That's a good phrase right there. And my challenge for you is to moms and just to everyone across the board, remember what you're putting together. You're building a house. A lot of times, like, that seems like such a strange thought, but and of course you guys won't admit this, because I don't know that I would admit this. Anybody ever just be like, nope, don't want to build a house? Not anybody ever built, like, we'll take it out of, like, the metaphorical realm. Anybody ever built a actual house before? Trying to see if he's raising his hand up there. Yeah, okay, you got a couple. Oh man, I'm gonna knock that over, Max. I might move your music stand real quick. Okay. Fun? Everybody kind of laughs at the same time. They're kind of like, yeah, there are parts of it that are fun. Other parts of it, not so much. It's not enjoyable. And there are times, I think, even when you're in the process of building a house, that you just get back and you say, if somebody else wants to take this over and do it, like, I'd be all right with that. I'd remodeled a house one time, and about, like, I think, like, day two into it, I was like, nope, somebody else needs to do this. I have no business with this. This is not my thing. And there are times when we're building this house that is your family, that is your home, that is who you are as a mom, as a dad, as a Christian family, or even as a follower of Christ. You're building this legacy. You're building this image where people look at you and they see Christ in you. Sometimes it's tough. And sometimes our reaction is to want to kind of think less of it and say, well, listen, why can't today I just be me and not have to worry about all that stuff? I don't know if you moms will be honest enough with me, but moms, you ever sit back and say, they're somebody else's kids today. They're not mine. Like, I just, some of y'all are very honest. Good. Yeah, like, there are times where, like, as a dad, I'm like, hey, if you could just be somebody else's kids for, like, 5 minutes. There are times as a husband that I'm like, man, oh, if you could just give me 5 minutes without asking me what to eat for dinner, because I don't know what to eat for dinner because I haven't figured that out yet. There are times as a Christian where I'm like, man, if I didn't have to represent Christ, I could just tell this person every single thing I'm thinking about them right now, and it would feel so much better. And there are times where we want to take the responsibility of the house that we're putting together off of us. And we want to minimize it, and we want to kind of downplay it because it's really not that important. But I got to tell you today, as a Christian, whether you're a mom, a dad, or just a simple follower of Christ who is just here because you showed up on Mother's Day Sunday for no other reason because it was Sunday, you're building a house. That's a big deal. What you are establishing is going to live long past you. You realize you have a certain number of years on this earth. After your number of years are over, are done, and gone, there's only one thing that remains of you. Your legacy. What you've built. Your reputation. What people know about you. And so as easy and as simple as this sounds, and how a lot of us want to just go and say, hey, listen, I don't want to build a house today, I have to tell you, it's a very important task that you've been given. You have to use wisdom to build this house. Another translation of it says this. Let's see. I think it's up there. Yeah. A wise woman builds her house on a foundation of godly precepts, and her household thrives. Now, I also have to tell you this, because I think a lot of times, anybody have a hard time just building a house? And you, here's what I mean. You build the house, you establish it, you kind of like raise it, you put it on its own, you get it set up and ready, but then it needs some maintenance, and it needs some work, and it needs this fixed, and it needs that fixed, and you feel as though you have to be the fixer of everything always, forever. I'll never forget my mom. I'm 38 years old, and my mom still feels like she has to fix things for me sometimes. She's like, hey, let me make you a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I'm like, Mom, I'm 38. I can make my own sandwich. Like, you know, and I love that she likes to do that, but it's just, and moms, I want to tell you today, yes, you're building a house, and what you're doing is super important, but your only task is just to build the house. You're not supposed to maintain it. You're not supposed to live with it day in, day out, and let it eat alive at you because you can't let it go. Sometimes, moms, you guys think that you have to maintain. You have to decorate. You have to make the house achieve everything that you want it to achieve so that you can feel some sense of satisfaction. And this morning, I'm here to tell you that it's okay. All you have to do is just start the foundation. You lay the foundation and let it go from there. We'll stop there. You can only do so much, but what you are called to do is of the utmost of importance. You can only do so much. Listen, you can raise kids to a certain point. You can establish this house. You can build this house to a certain point, but then at some point in time, things take over. It goes on its own, and you can't go anywhere past that. But what you are called to do is of the utmost of importance. You are called to build or establish this house on godly principles. Now, if you have your own like copy of scripture, or you're looking in the bulletin, you realize that chapter 14 verse 1 doesn't stop there. It continues, and he says this in the second half. A wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands, the foolish one tears hers down. I'm going to tread lightly here because I don't know a lot about women. I'm going to find out, apparently, living with four of them, my daughters and my wife. But I think, and I can kind of back this with Solomon saying this also, ladies have a tendency of being their own worst critic. Would anybody else agree with that? Maybe a little bit? Some of y'all are sitting there like, yeah, but I can't say it because, right. But it's interesting that I think ladies especially, you're your own worst critics. See, what he says here is a wise woman builds her house, but then with her own hands, with her hands, she tears down the exact same house she's building. Because what she does is she looks at it and she says, well, it's not like this. It's not perfect. It's not everything I wanted it to be. And she ends up doing more damage and more destruction and more tearing down of her own house as her own worst critic than anybody else ever could. Some of us today, we're our own worst critic. We do more damage. We do more tearing down of our own house, of the own structure, our own structure that we're building, than anybody else ever does. We criticize, we critique every single thing we do, and we tear down everything we've built up. And there's a couple reasons I think this happens, but I think that the biggest thing is we want to say, oh, well, I'm not perfect. And in somehow us saying we're not perfect, we use that as a way to say, I'm not perfect, and you want to just name every single one of your mistakes. Anybody know somebody? We'll just say that. Does anybody know somebody like that? Yeah. Listen, I'm terrible about that. And I'm not even a woman. Maybe it's like that all of them living with me, they've like rubbed off on me or something. But like this, I think, applies to everybody. You are your own worst critic. You come in and you tear down so much of what God's doing in your life by weaknesses and by exposing things and saying, well, I'm not perfect, and so therefore God can't do anything with me because I'm not perfect. When my scripture actually tells me this, in my weaknesses, his power is perfected. What that means is that where your weaknesses are, the things that you want to take and you want to criticize and you want to critique about yourself, is actually the exact spot that God wants to demonstrate his greatness and his power in your life. And so instead of being a critic who tears down what God is doing, expose the weaknesses, but realize that God is still building something up. You still have this calling to build this house, and don't come in and tear down everything you've worked for by being super critical of yourself. Now, again, I know that doesn't apply to anyone, and there are no moms here who are super critical about themselves, so let me just take it one step further. Anybody ever think about... Here we go. Anybody ever do the what that family's doing wrong game on the way home from family functions? Yeah, all right, there you go. Right? Yeah. You go home, and on the way home, like, listen, we... Confession moment if my family's watching, sorry. We would leave family vacation, or we'd leave something... And the whole ride home, it'd just be like the first 10 minutes of, oh my goodness, can you believe they did this, and they did this, and they did this, and they did this, and I would never do that. And it was just like this unloading process where like we would criticize and critique everything about our families. And it didn't just stop there. Like, if I'm going to be completely transparent with you, we still do that sometimes. We watch other people with other things they do, and it's like, oh, I can't believe they would do this or they would do that. Be careful what you're tearing down. Because see, we just said that wisdom builds a house, but then foolishness tears down her own house. But a lot of times as Christians, we tear down each other's houses. You criticize and you critique and you poke at and you pick apart every single thing that some other family is doing. And the whole time you're tearing down what God's doing in their life. Because they don't feel comfortable sharing things, because they can't be honest, because they can't be real, because they can't be authentic, because they have to put this perfect persona on there. And what happens is, because you pick apart everything about their life, they know that, and therefore they feel like they have to live something different than who they really are. We don't call it gossip. We call it simply just critiquing. But be careful what you're tearing down. Because again, you have the job of building a house. It's the utmost importance, and you've got to be careful with what you're tearing down. The other thing I think that this verse kind of tells me is this, is that you got this and you're doing great. Now listen, I know the danger that comes with this. You're one of those hippy-dippy preachers. Preach everything good comes to you if you love Jesus. It's like, no. But I think sometimes we need to stop and you need to hear this. You got this. You're doing good. You're doing great. What God needs from you is not for you to feel bad about yourself, for you to leave church every Sunday and just be like, oh, I am a miserable wretch. God needs you to know that you've got this. You're doing good stuff. And what he needs you to do is he needs you to continue to do those things. Don't get so caught up in feeling bad about yourself and tearing yourself down and looking at all the things that you're doing wrong that you miss what God is trying to do in your life. You got this and you're doing great. Keep doing what you're doing. And some of you would say, yeah, okay, great. You don't really know how big of a mess my life is. I'm so glad you would say that. Because there's this other passage that is actually just three verses after this in Proverbs chapter 14. Verse 4 says this, without an ox, the stable stays clean. But you need a strong ox for a large harvest. What does that mean? Because maybe some of y'all have some more farming experience than I do, but I know when if I put an ox or I put a cow into a stall, I know what clean means and I know what dirty means. Y'all follow? Yeah, I know what clean means and I know what dirty means. What the writer is actually saying is, listen, sometimes we get so focused on the mess that the ox creates that we miss the blessings behind it. We get so focused on the mess the ox creates. You ever just feel like you want to have a clean stall? I mean, like honestly, like if life could just take a pause for a moment and like if I could set the toys in this spot and when I came back 5 minutes later, the toys would still be in that spot where I just picked them up, or the dishes, the sink that I just cleaned, I could come back an hour later and it was still clean, or the job that I left, or the car that I filled up with gas, or all these different things, and we just wish for that moment. Oh man, if the life could just be perfect. I had this thought last night. I was looking over this again and I was trying to figure out, like, wouldn't it be cool, maybe nobody else does, wouldn't it be cool if you just woke up in the morning and what you were supposed to wear was there? You didn't have to pick it out. It was just there for you. Or like you went and like your coffee, you didn't have to push a button and wait for it to like brew in this little K-cup thing. No, you just pushed a button and it was the right temperature, because them Yetis burn the snot out of your mouth if you drink that coffee too quick. And it was the perfect temperature and everything was just picture perfect. And you could sit on your porch and sip your coffee slowly while you watch the sunrise in the background. And man, we wish so much that life was just picture perfect. That there was no mess in our stall, that it was perfectly clean, that when people came over to our house, how many of y'all ever thought this? If I can just keep it clean until somebody gets here. Once they are here, it doesn't have to be clean anymore. I can let the mess come, but if I can just keep it clean until they get here. So many times we get caught up on the mess that the ox creates. We get so caught up in the mess that life creates that we miss the next part of it. Because what the Bible says, what chapter 14, verse 4 says is this, without an ox, the stable stays clean, but you need an ox for a strong harvest. Without the mess, you and I's harvest gets diminished. See all that mess that's created in that stall, that stuff that we want to just get rid of, that we want to sweep under the rug, that we want to hide, we don't want people to see because it's messy, it's not clean, it's not perfect, it's not the image that everyone wants to have in their mind when they think of you. We try to push that stuff aside, but actually, that stuff that you're trying to push aside is what creates in you and I the best harvest possible. It's that stuff. It's the mess of life that create the most bountiful harvest you can think of. And sometimes I think we try to get rid of the mess instead of embracing it. And in the process of doing that, when we try to get rid of it, we try to push it aside, what we actually do is we actually diminish the harvest that God wants to do and what he wants to do in our life. It's because our stalls are so messy that we're able to reap such a good harvest. Today, my challenge and my encouragement for you is this, is to embrace the mess. Because with that mess comes a good harvest. There's one other thing that I've got to stop and I've got to talk about for just a second. Anybody ever get caught up looking at other people's life? Anybody, let me ask this. Anybody ever get on Facebook or Instagram or some news channel or some social media site and you look and you're like, man, why can't my life be like theirs? Like, you ever seen those people who, like, they post pictures and, like, everyone is, like, all the blankets in their house have a nice little, like, folded section that they stay in. That's not real life. That's posed. You can't tell me. That's not real. But somewhere in the back of our head, we get in this mindset that other people's immaculate life should be ours. And we get lost in the immaculateness of other people's lives. And we lessen what God is doing through us. And this is where I do want to pause. And I want to talk to everybody, but I want to talk to you moms just for a second. And some of y'all, you see other people, you see other things, and you have this tendency to kind of judge yourself. You have this tendency to judge yourself based on either what you see online or what you see in other people's kids when you were in the car rider line at school or wherever you are, and you look and you start to evaluate your worth based on what other people do. Moms, if I can tell you anything today, it's this: embrace the mess. Do not let the perfection or the appeared perfection of other people's lives diminish what God is doing in your life. Lessen what God is doing in your life. Sometimes it is that mess that we try so hard to hide, that we try so hard to clean up, that we don't want anybody else to see, because if they saw it, they would know we're not perfect. But man, that mess creates the good stuff. And out of the good stuff comes a very, very good harvest. Listen, some of us just today need to embrace the messy parts of life. I had this thought the other day. I forget where I was or what I was doing. But I was like, I can't do that. I'm a pastor now. Crazy. Like, dawned on me too. I was like, what? And I thought for a second, after I had that thought, I was like, why? I said, well, because people expect a pastor to be pastorly. And unfortunately, I'm not. And that hurt for a second, but then I realized, no, man, that's part of my mess. Part of my mess is that I don't have this thing figured out yet. And I'm not exactly the most polished and professional. And there are times where I do things or I say things in the middle of services or in the middle of like something that I shouldn't do. And I'm like, oh, man. But part of that's the mess that God's doing in my life. And part of the mess that God's doing in my life is creating in me a good harvest. Some of y'all have some messes in your life, and you've tried for so long to hide them, to keep them under wraps, to push them aside. Today, I challenge you, I beg with you, and I plead with you, embrace that mess, and let that mess become the good soil to cultivate some great things in your life. I think the reason these verses are put so closely together is because Solomon wants moms to know that part of the wisdom of building that house is to embrace the mess that comes with. As a mom, as an individual here today who follows Christ, you have to understand that part of building that house is going to be messy. Part of building a legacy, a foundation that follows Christ is messy. But if you embrace the mess, you're going to have a more beautiful house, a more beautiful harvest. what you're creating is going to be more beautiful than you could ever imagine. So moms, you got this. Christians, you got this. You're doing good. What God needs you to do is keep going, to embrace the messy parts of life and realize that it's going to mean a better harvest for you. Father, we thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for moms, for mother figures, aunts, grandmas. Lord, there are so many different areas and categories that could fall into this where people are taking places of moms and being moms for so many people. They're mother figures in our lives. And God, this morning, I pray that you would just be with them to help them to understand that they can embrace the mess. Lord, that even though their story, their pictures may not look like everybody else's, it's okay. Lord, that what they're building and what you've called them to do is far greater than a picture or an image or something like that. Lord, I pray that it goes beyond moms this morning, that we would realize as Christians that you've called us to build something. Lord, that as we build that, we would embrace the mess and let it grow the good stuff in our life. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this time. And I ask that you would just be with us now as we sing a hymn of invitation. Lord, that you would deal with our hearts what only you can do. Father, that you would just help us to glorify you, to worship you during this time. In your name we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.